What have you learned, Sharon? No, just tell me what some dynamic thing that you've learned just scattered your brains, just blew you away.
Heart of ours.
I've learned that every word, every tense, everything has a meaning. And you have to know it in the original language or you're missing. You're just missing a lot.
Could you understand the book of Genesis without looking at it in Hebrew now?
No.
No, you couldn't do that. I mean, people say, I got the English Bible. Boy, you're sure gone for broke. I mean, if you really, they don't know what you're talking about. All right. Brother Mike, what have you learned? Just a little tiny bit.
I'm going to be last. But this is only my first thing I've been to in the last.
But over the last 10 years, what have you learned from Hebrew in my classes? What's dynamic thing that just struck you?
Lots of different things. I have to look at my Bible. Mm-hmm. I can't say.
Okay.
Let me think about it.
Brother Mike, you said what? Hathavar, is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Hathavar, that's the word. Hathavar is the name for Jehovah. That's the word for Jehovah. When you see that, then you understand John 1 and 1, John 1, 14, and it's dynamic. How about you, Brother Roger?
You know, when you hear a lot of the modern people talking about issues of, for example, we're going to rewrite the Bible and take gender out of it.
Yes.
And things like that. It's obvious that they don't understand where this stuff came from.
Yes.
So that's kind of stuff that gets my interest going.
Take what out of it, Roger?
So they're trying to make the Bible with no gender.
Oh.
I mean, user-friendly. User-friendly. Yeah, user-friendly.
Yeah.
All right, Pamela.
I would have to say the same thing that, you know, Sharon said, you know, because like I said before, when people, used to tell me, I could read it, but when I read it now, it has a meaning to it.
It jumps out at you, doesn't it?
Names have a meaning to it.
Yes.
Because before they were just
names. Names have a meaning. Every name in the Bible is very important, mm-hmm. Really. How about you, Brother Abraham?
Yeah, through this class, I could little more understand about the Hebrewism. Because the languages represent people's thinking, like a systematic thinking,
yes.
Like a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
boy, you come up here and say that, brother. That's good. The somatic thinking. Yes, it's you have to understand that to understand what's going on. You have to look through the eyes of the people.
Yeah, especially the people of Israel. How could they follow God and rebel mm-hmm. against God? And now what they're thinking about Jesus Christ, like a thinking system.
Yes.
So
all right. That's good. All right. Brother Mike, did you figure out anything yet? All right. Okay.
I know answers to questions, but I can't say anything.
There are outstanding things. I'll tell you what I learned. This is powerful. Hathavar. That's what I learned. That Jehovah is the word of the New Testament. Okay? That's fantastic right there. I mean, that's real. Nobody had ever pushed that very hard before I did it. When you hear somebody preaching about it, you know where it come from? Here. That's where it came from. Because they didn't... Very few commentaries or anything even talked about it, and when they did, it was so deep and in foreign languages that they couldn't understand it anyway. And what I gathered, all this material, I've gathered it up from, you've been in my library. A lot of preachers have books in the library. I read the books. You look at their books. They're pristine. Mine are ruined. Yeah, my lexicons are ruined. I read lexicons, you know. You do that. Learn to be a student. It turned me into a student, studying the languages. I had a wonderful teacher, Travis Hubbard, Dr. Travis Hubbard, that was just wonderful. He taught me, study words, young man, study words. And I tried to pass that on to you. So much of my teaching is a lot like him. He illustrated like me. Everything. You go listen to him preach on there. You'll think it's me.
Who's that?
Dr. Travis Hubbard, H.T. Hubbard. You'll listen to him. That was my father in the faith. He was my father in the faith. We were like inseparable almost. You go listen to him preach. There's a lot of his sermons on there, on both websites. They're on sermon audio too. I've got a bunch of them in cache right now to put out there. All right, Genesis 3 and verse 12. Genesis 3:12. Let's look at this. Genesis 3:12. We went from 3:6 to 12 last week. Wyomer? Ha-adam. Ha-isha. Asher. Natata. Imadi. Hu. Natina. Li. Men. Ha'aret. Wa-akel. All right, now let's go back and look at this. All right, now I want you to conjugate Wyomer for me. Wyomer. Sharon, I know you can do it.
Where are we?
312. 312? Uh-huh.
Third person masculine singular, cowbell, consecutive and perfect.
All right, now this just does away with all this friendly, user-friendly Bible, doesn't it? Feminist and all this stuff. We know who God is. He's third person masculine senior. He's a he. All right. Now, he said and he kept on saying, the man. All right. The man and the woman. All right. Whom you have given. You have given. Second person masculine senior, cow perfect. You have given with me. She gave to me from the tree. And I kept on eating. Look at that. Boy, that's a poor excuse, isn't it? If I ever heard one, that's a lame excuse. And he said, the man, the Adam, the woman whom you gave to me, you have given to me to be with me, she has given to me from the tree, and I kept on eating. Boy, I never ate such good food in my life. We just ate it all up. We just kept eating it. One bite wasn't enough. Always you have in the movies, all the old movies of Adam and Eve in the garden, he takes a bite of an apple. Is that what happened?
No.
What'd they do? They stole the whole tree and ate it all. Ate it up. Disgorged themselves on it. That's what happened. Gluttony begins right here. Gluttony begins right here. 3:13. Wyomer. Hadavar. Elohim. La Isha. Ma. Zoth. Asith. Watomer. Ha Isha. Hanokash. Hashishini. Wa-okel. And he said, Jehovah Elohim, to the woman. To the woman. Look at that word, to Isha. Li Isha. Where's the two there? Tell me what two, where the two comes from. What is that? Where's that preposition? What is that preposition? Brother Roger?
Lameth.
All right, and Isha means what, brother Mike? Isha.
Out of man.
That's good. See there, out of man. Woman was not made from the same elements as the dust of the earth. She was made from what? From Adam. All right, so she's a secondary creation of God. She came from Adam. Okay, man is a primary creation of God. He came right straight from the hands of God, and all the elements of man come from the same elements as the dust of the ground, but literally from God. Yes.
Okay. When God created Adam, it was really all mankind in this one body.
That's what would become
all. So when he created Eve, he separated the two.
Yes.
So
he took out of masculine.
Woman's a secondary creation. Is there separated? Did you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
she was there.
They were created at the same time, and then when Adam was hypnotized and put to sleep, then they were separated, not so much a created a new thing, but separated from...
Six sides.
From his six sides. Yeah. But Adam could have existed like that, couldn't he?
Oh, well, he did.
Yeah, he did. He is. How long? We don't know that.
Till he got lonely.
Okay, till he got lonely. But God took from his sides. He took from him. Okay? He took from him. He took feminine man from man, literally, out of man. But I know what you're trying to get. She was there. She was there.
She was
but
there
she
along, yeah.
was, if she was there, God, this is what you want to understand here. God took Isha from man before man fell. Okay? She was part of man, not part of her. She was part of man. He wasn't part of her. So God took from her, from him, her, from all those sides, and he formed woman. All right? And all of her life, all of her blood and everything came from Adam. Okay? Now, she came out of Adam before Adam ever sinned. But he was still the head of the human race. You realize? He was the head of the human race before they ever sinned. God gave Adam the charge to guard the earth. Okay? He didn't take that part out of Adam, did he? Did he?
No.
No. That he took woman, Isha, out of man. And so man is still the head of the human race, isn't he? He's still the one that's going to answer to. Woman, I mean, we think because women have been so browbeat through the whole history of mankind, you know, the women feminist movement and all this kind of stuff, that, you know, we are equal with man, but no, women aren't equal to man. They aren't equal in the responsibility at that point. If they had been equal in responsibility at that time, we could not have had a Savior. Could we?
No.
No. Now, that's a mystery to the world, too, isn't it? How can Jesus be born of a woman that's a sinner? Mary was a sinner. She was a sinner like all people. She had to be saved just like everybody else. She needed a redeemer. But from her body came the form of the human race that was sinless. Sinless. Because it had nothing to do with Adam. Adam's children, we're all sinners, aren't we? But Eve had the capability of passing life on to a child without sin, and that's how God made woman. And that's why God did what he did, okay? Now, this is another little thing I might throw you a little bit about the Muslim world. Muhammad says that there's no life in a woman at all. That a woman is just like an incubator only. That man puts all life in the woman in sperm when he impregnates a woman. She has nothing to do with it. All the life and all the form comes from the man. Now, we know that that is not true today in medical science. Now, what I just told you in medical science about woman, is that true?
Yes.
Absolutely. Where does the blood come from in the human race? Does it come from the woman or the man?
Woman.
The blood?
Man.
Man only, not from the woman. Woman never contributes one drop of blood to the child. And sin comes through the blood of man, as in one blood all have sinned. Okay? So there, now, scientifically, does science agree with the Bible? Yes, when it's right. And that way, we're talking about medical science. If it would be safer for you not to eat any clams or mussels, or shrimp, or lobster, or anything else, why? Now, the Bible prohibited that. Why, Brother Mike?
They take the contaminants probably out of the water and absorb it and collect it in them.
They, If you've had arsenic and mercury poisoning, you're not supposed to eat any of those things because they're bottom feeders. Bottom feeders, okay? They are what we call vultures of the sea. And so they get all of the contaminants. And they will have more arsenic and mercury in them. Now, if we hadn't poisoned the waters, we wouldn't have this trouble. But man has destroyed the earth. Simple as that. He's really polluted the place. And so these animals are the number ones. Now, God knew that a long time ago, didn't he? You're not going to get a Jew to eat clam chowder. Did you know that? Might eat chowder, but not clam chowder. Have potato soup or something, but not clam chowder. All right, he's not going to eat those bottom feeders. Now, God knew that a long time ago, didn't he? He knew that a long time ago. He knew about trichinosis in swine, and that's why he told them never eat swine. Okay, because they have this and they could eat this. If they didn't cook it well enough, they can get this contaminant. It's not only that, but swine carry every disease that human has. That's how they wiped out all of these people in the United States. Or not in the United States, but in America. All the Indians, 150 million Indians over here. And they wiped them out by bringing the swine for portable food. The Spanish did. All right? That killed more of them than bullets did. Besides that, the Indians were armed a lot better than the white man. They always talk about the rifle won the West. The rifle didn't win the West. Indians could shoot more arrows in you so fast that they were much better armed. Let's go on now.
What?
The what?
Disease
won the West. Anopheles quadrimaculatus won the West. That's what it was. The mosquito. Malaria. Wyomer. All right. And he said and kept on saying, Hathavar. What is that about Hathavar now, brother? What's your name over there, Steve? Hathavar, you said that was very important to you. Who is this Hathavar?
The word.
Now, why do I say Hathavar instead of trying to pronounce the word Jehovah?
You can't pronounce it.
You can't. It's Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey. You can't say that word. We don't know. There's no vowel pointings to it. We don't know what they said. Moses would. If we had Moses around, when you go to heaven, you can ask Moses what it was, how you say that word. But we're not going to know that word here today. They come to this word and they say, Hathavar, the word. And then when John, in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the word, he said, the Jehovah. The word there is Jehovah. That's this word right here. All right. And he said, Jehovah, Elohim. Jehovah Elohim, what does the term Jehovah Elohim mean?
Creator God.
Huh?
Creator God.
Jehovah Elohim. What? Combined. Jehovah means what?
He who shall become,
but what does that entail? The covenant God. The covenant-making God. Because man wouldn't... When we got to start talking about man in the second and the third chapter of the book of Genesis, we start seeing the word Jehovah Elohim. Because man was going to need a redeemer. And this was going to be the covenant God, the promised one, he who shall become. Okay? Jehovah Elohim to the woman. Now he's going to say, La Isha. Ma. Ma means what? Ma.
Yeah.
What? That's where the word what comes from.
Right.
What did Israel get in the wilderness and they said, Ma? Manna. Manna. What is it? Mana means what is it? This is what it is. This is an interrogative. All right? Little interrogative.
Jim?
Yes.
Quick question. Is the word Jehovah, is that Greek?
That's Hebrew,
the word Jehovah.
Yeah. The Greek equivalent to that in the Septuagint is Kyrios.
So,
or
Jehovah is Greek. Hathavar is...
Hathavar is Hebrew. Jehovah is Hebrew, Jehovah, but they don't know how to say it. Hathavar is the equivalent of pronouncing it.
Jehovah is Greek and Hathavar is Hebrew.
No, Jehovah is Hebrew.
Jehovah is Hebrew and Hathavar
is Hebrew.
Okay, so...
But Hebrew is a Hathavar is a substitute pronunciation for the name Jehovah.
Okay.
That's what you do in place of it. They would say Hathavar or Hashem means the name. That's what they would say when they come to this word. Now, Elohim, we know that's creator. But see, Exodus 20 and verse 7 said what? Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. So they were afraid to ever speak that name again. We see it in the Bible, but we know how to say it.
Well,
When the Jew comes across the name Jehovah, what does he say? Adonai. Adonai. All right. Adonai today, back then, they said Hathabar. All right. You go read the old commentaries, it'll say Hathabar, Brother Mike.
That's what I just asked. What was it Greek? Adonai in Greek.
Adonai is Hebrew. Adonai is Hebrew. And the Jews...
Adonai is Hebrew?
Yeah, Adonai is Hebrew.
Okay, in Greek, how do they say the word? I
forgot. Hologos. Hologos. John 1 and 1. John 1, 14. Hologos. That's a Hebraism. What?
How do they say the Lord in Greek then?
Okay, the word for, in the Septuagint, for Jehovah, the translation of it there is Kyrios, which means Lord. Okay. Now, in the New Testament, we have a quotation from the Old Testament, which is Adonai ha-Adonaiim, and where is that? Book of Revelation, 19th chapter, where it says, and on his side was King of the name King of King and Lord of Lords. And that's right straight out of Hebrew. It says Adonai ha-Adonaiim. Now, if you go with that to the Jehovah Witnesses, they have no answer for that. That's who it's talking about, is this person right here. Okay, let's go on now. La Isha. Lamet on the front of that is a preposition. Page 515. Isha means out of man. What? This. Zelth. This. Asith. Asith. Second person, singular, feminine, cal perfect. What? You have done, you woman, you feminine have done. What did you do? And then she said, Watamar. And you see that tau in there? That tells us it's feminine, doesn't it? All right. And this is third person feminine singular, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. She said and kept on saying, the woman, Ha-Nahash, 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 Ha-Nahash. Hanana Hanash Hashishini. Ha Nahash Hashinini. The serpent, the deceiving serpent, he has tricked me. She didn't say he caused me to sin, did she? He tricked or deceived me. Now, we're going to look at the woman, the man. The man was not tricked, was he? No. So whose fault was this? Even though the woman led out in it, whose fault was it?
That woman he gave.
That's blame shifting, brother. Whose fault was it, brother Steve?
If she hadn't called me over, it
whose fault was it, brother Steve? Whose fault was it?
I'm guilty, as I said.
That's right. Man is guilty. All right, we share that guilt with him because we have Adam's blood running in us, don't we? Jesus did not have Adam's blood running in him. I want you to understand. I want you to understand that that's so important right here. That's paramountly important. All right? And I kept on eating. He tricked me. Third person, masculine, singular. Hifael, perfect. He caused me to be tricked. And I just kept on eating this delicious food. I kept on eating these dainties. I kept on gorging myself. First person construct singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. 314 now. 314. Wyomer. Hathabar. Come on, girls, boys.
Hathabar.
No, Hathabar. What's the next one? Elohim. All right. El Hanahash Ki Asiti Zoth Arur Ata Mikal Ha Bihima Yumikal Chayoth Hasade Al Gi Chanika Telik We afar, tokal, call, yeme, chai yicha. All right. This is a dual prophecy. Okay? This is the dual prophecy. And he said, Jehovah Elohim, unto the Hanahash. Hanahash, what is that? Page 638, that means a deceiving serpent. And did God create the serpent to be deceptive? No. What was the serpent, evidently?
Beautiful.
Beautiful? What else?
Ruler of animals.
He was what?
Ruler.
He was the head of all the animal kingdom.
Intelligent.
He was very intelligent. Very beautiful. Okay. And how do you get around?
Probably walking.
Walking. Walking. And he didn't walk on his belly yet, did he? All right. So we have a different Nahash that's going to walk on the earth with on his belly from now on than what was there. This was the head of the animal kingdom, evidently. Okay.
I have a stupid question. Weird.
Mike, you don't ask.
Why do you claim that? Why did God curse the snake or the Satan that was possessing the snake to cause it to? You know what I mean?
Say that again loud.
I mean, God cursed the snakes. I mean, not.
He cursed the serpent.
In the garden, the
yeah.
Serpent. But they were indwelled by Satan.
He was controlled by Satan, yes. Satan used him.
Involuntarily.
Voluntarily. That's the problem right there. People don't realize. We have been raised to believe that animals don't have souls. But in Hebrew, we know better, don't we? Animals have souls. Okay? They have souls. Now, I don't understand everything I know about that. I'm telling you this. Are they eternal souls like we are? I don't know. Could God have animals in heaven? Yes. That's possible. But I can tell you one thing from this verse right here, which is in the 3rd chapter and the 14th verse in the Bible, that animals have volition, don't they?
Yep.
They have volition. Have you ever seen an animal make a choice?
All the time.
Have you? Everything. Sure. They say, well, animals can't think. They can't maneuver. They can't use tools. That's why man's so far above them. Hogwash. One of the smartest creatures on the earth is a pig. And I'm going to tell you something else pretty smart, too, and that's a crow. You ever watch a crow figure out how to do something?
Raven.
Yeah. Crows and whales. You watch them use tools. They go up there and they get something, they drop it. They'll drop it for a nut to crack. They'll do all kinds of stuff. Animals figure things out. Monkeys figure things out. They think. They do. And this animal, because he thought, and because he had volition, God cursed him. How would God be righteous and just if he cursed something that didn't have a will? Well, it don't make sense, does it? And why did he curse him above all the other animals, as we're going to see? Because Satan used his body and his person to infiltrate the human race through the woman, which was very important to man. Isha was very important to man. Is women still important to men today?
Of course.
Sure they are. They still are. Okay? Unto the serpent, because you have done. Second person, masculine, singular, cow, perfect. You have done. And that comes from Asa. Okay, you have done. Zoth, this thing. Now look at this. Masculine, singular, cow, perfect, participle. Okay. What do we have here? Being cursed, literally. Being cursed. Having been cursed. All right. You, ata. Now, what about that word you there, Brother Roger? That word you. That's a second person pronoun on the end of et, isn't it? That's a direct object. That's a sign of direct object with a second person, a singular personal pronoun ending on it. From all, and here we have two words. We have man on the front of that, mikol, man from, and then all. That little adjective describing how many, all right? From all ha-bihama, from all of the domesticated four-legged animals. From all the domesticated animals, you're cursed above all of them. Now, we find out if you go all through the time. Now, we're back way back yonder on that chart. See back over there in where it says innocence? We're right at the fall and the curse right now. That's where we are, right over there at that deal. We come in the age of conscience. We come to the human government. We come to the promise with Abraham. We come all the way down through here. We're in the end of the church age right now. Then we're going to go to the tribulation period. Then we're going to go into the thousand-year reign of Christ. And guess what? This snake's going to be still cursed over here. Because what he did there was so paramountly important and such a wicked deed. And he had volition. How about those swine? How about those swine there at Gennesaret? There at the Sea of Galilee. How about those swine that Gadarene demoniac come out there and he had 2,000 demons in him. And those swine there, you know, I told you swine smart. Now these guys had these pigs over there, and there was a whole herd of them there. And these, you know, demons know things. They've been around for a long time. They go all the way back in eternity past when God created spirits and angels. And the spirits that fell are what we call demons. And a demon, demonia, means what?
Little God.
Why is it called a little God? Because it's a supernatural being. Okay, it's supernatural. It's beyond normal. It's a paranormal being. Okay? Powerful. Supernatural. It doesn't die. These demon spirits didn't die. We experience death. But they don't have bodies, do they? Angels have bodies. Angels have form. Now, a lot of books don't say they do, but there's a difference, Brother Steve, between angels and spirits and demons. Spirits are a being that does not have form. Angels have form. Did you know that God created angels in His image? To a certain extent, did you know that? Everything in some way was created in the image of God. He created angels, and the most highest form of His creation of angels was who?
Lucifer.
The coordinator, the administrator of the material reign. And of course, Michael was a high angel. Michael is called the archangel. Now, let me do say this while I'm here, that nowhere in the Bible does it call Lucifer an archangel, or does it call Gabriel an archangel. We know they were by conjecture. Okay, we know that. But it calls Michael the archangel. And we know that there's three basic angels. Now, Islam and Judaism will have all these other ideas from the Kabbalah, and all of this, you know, their histories, that the Mishnah and the Talmud. That's where we get a lot of this legend. But the Bible talks about three orders of angels: Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Okay. And Lucifer was over the material realm. If you have a guardian angel today, it's from Lucifer's realm. That's over the physical realm. Okay? The ones that communicate to you are from Gabriel's realm. The three orders of spirits. The spirits. There are spirits from Michael's realm, there are spirits from Gabriel's realm, and there are spirits from Lucifer's realm. And the fallen ones from those realms are demons. The ones that are ministering spirits are the ones that did not fall from all three realms. Okay? That'll give you some advanced theology from the seminary. Okay?
Could you just quickly break that into three sections for him so he would understand?
I know what they are. Yeah, he does. I know they're material, spiritual, and...
Okay, here we have Gabe, we have Michael, and we have Lucifer. And each one of those realms, we have spirits. These are angels. They have form. We don't see that form. A lot of people think angels don't have form because we can't see them. Because they travel between all the 10 dimensions, but in all 10 dimensions, they have form. I'm going to tell you, they have form. Spirits, you'll never find spirit having form. They seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. And those demon spirits that were in Legion there at the Gadarene demoniac, they wanted to go someplace, and they pursued Jesus, and they said, you know, Master, it's not time for you to send us into the bottomless pit, into the hell or whatever, to the place of torment. Let us go unto those swine over there if it be permitted. And he said, let it be so. So what did they do? They went into the swine. What kind of decision did the swine make? They decided not to live with those. Wouldn't people be better off if they had as much sense as a pig?
Amen.
Yeah. Those swine drowned themselves because they didn't want to be indwelt by this evil spirits. And of course, you know, the old story is, now you don't realize this, but Jesus used this because they believed this. From the mission on the Talmud, what was the Sea of Galilee? What was the bottom of the Sea of Galilee? The
gates to hell.
The gates to hell. Okay? And that's where the gates of the bottomless pit was. And so the pigs go off and jump in there. And they said, oh man, all those demon spirits, he threw them in hell. They're all there in hell. Every time they had a great storm there, they thought the Leviathan, the supernatural being called a Leviathan, was stirring up the waters in the Sea of Galilee, out in the ocean, everything else. Yes, Sharon.
Okay, so the demons were in the demoniac, then
yes.
They went into the pigs, and when the pigs died, then were they released again?
Now, the pigs, the demon spirits don't stay in dead flesh.
So then they
go someplace else, seeking someplace else. And Jesus talks about that in one of the parables, too. Okay?
Comes back more.
Yeah. Okay, now do you understand this?
You said angels, and you said spirits, and demons, and so...
Spirits are non-fallen spirits. Demons are fallen spirits.
Are there angels?
There are fallen angels... And they're fallen spirits. The fallen angels are called fallen angels. The fallen spirits are called demons.
Okay, the non-fallen angels are all angels, or some of them are spirits and some of them are angels.
No. Okay, let's look here, up here on my chart. In Lucifer's realm, at least one-third of they fell, of the spirits and the angels. This is what many theologians believe. In Gabriel's realm, at least one-third of them fell, okay? And you divide them in three parts. And then in Michael's realm, at least one-third of those fell, of the spirits and the angels. Now, these are the most dangerous ones. The Bible talks about some that were so dangerous. These are very powerful. It talks about some of these so dangerous that God had to put them in the bottomless pit. The book of Jude and Peter talks about that both. All right. And, of course, Enoch talks about it a lot in the book of Enoch. Okay. So, now... Spirits don't have form. They seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. Angels have form. They don't seek to dwell in you. They can control people a lot of times and do things, but they don't dwell in your flesh, okay? They don't dwell in flesh. Spirits, fallen spirits, dwell in flesh, okay? Now, do rocks and images have power? Yes, they do. Buddha.
Yes.
All of these images in these Catholic churches, that these images
evil,
and saints evil, have power to draw
evil
people.
Spirits.
The spirits work there. They're making their home there. When you walk into one of those churches, do you know how many evil spirits are surrounding you? It ought to be spooky.
It is.
What keeps people in false religions? Demon spirits. Demon spirits. That's what keeps them there. Let's go on a little bit further. Didn't want to go into this too deeply, but you need to understand it. The spirit, Jehovah Elohim said to the serpent, because you have done this thing, cursed you are from all the cattle, all the ha bihima, and from all the chaya. What's chaya mean? Chaya, Brother Roger.
Isn't it the smaller animals?
It means living beings. It means living beings.
Oh, okay.
Chaya means living beings, literally. Chaya means life, living things. Of the prairie, the pasture of the meadows. Now, the pasture of the meadows, this is usually sometimes wild animals. Okay, wild animals, free roaming. Domesticated animals like what? What are domesticated animals?
Sheep, goats,
dogs.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, what we talk about most of the time is animals that, like camels. Do you know that camels, what does the word camel mean in Hebrew?
Gift.
Huh? Gift. Boy, you got a good mind, young lady. Gift. 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 Means gift. Now, camels, there are milk camels. Did you know there's milk camels? How many of you ever drank milk camel's milk? You have, haven't you? Yeah, I have.
Well, but I've eaten camel meat.
Yeah, well, they eat a lot of camels. Now, Jew, they always say that Islam carries the same laws as the Jews. No, they do not. Jews don't eat a camel. The Arabs eat camels right and left. You know, the legend is that that Muhammad's father, his father, Muhammad's grandfather, had made a promise to Allah that his 10th child, that when he had a child, when he had 10 sons, he'd offer one of them as a sacrifice. He cut his throat like Abraham did. Isaac, of course, it says Ishmael there, okay? And so his father, and he kept, and he was going to go kill him. And then they said, oh, don't do it, don't do it at the Kaaba. At the Kaaba. He was going to offer him there at the Kaaba, that's Mecca, okay? And they were going to cut his throat, and he said, don't do it, don't do it. You'll profane this thing. We don't offer human sacrifices here. We don't kill people here. Well, what am I supposed to do? They finally got a sorceress. That's full of sorcery and demonism, by the way, that religion is. This full of demonism. And this type of stuff here, see? What realm would they be communicating with? Which angelic realm?
Michael?
And spirit? No, not Michael's. What realm? Who's the messenger?
Gabriel.
In Gabriel's realm. If you're gonna hear a soothsayer or something, it's the fallen spirits from Gabriel's realm. It's the fallen angels from Gabriel's realm. All right? That's the messenger. That's the one to convey. If you're going to get good information, it's going to come from Gabriel's realm. If you're going to get bad information, you're going to get it too. All right, so he said, well, how about 10 camels? And they got a no. And they were throwing the 7 arrows. They had 7 arrows that had yes and no and all kinds of stuff on them. I could tell you everything. But they took them and they shook those arrows and they threw them down. And every time the arrows kept going to him. And he said, 10 camels. Then he said, 20 camels, 30 camels, 40 camels, 50 camels. They're going to sacrifice these camels. They were going to eat them. Okay. Finally, he got up to 100 camels. Muhammad's father was redeemed for 100 camels. 100 camels. They were taken, they would cut their throats and bleed them out there, and they had slaughter grounds. That's what they slaughtered around the Kaaba most of the time was camels. They brought them. They would take a camel when they would go there, and even the Muslims would do that. Muhammad did that. They would shave their humps. And it would decorate them real fancy looking, put headgear and all kinds of decorations on them like a Christmas tree, and they'd take them there, and those are the camels that were marked for the sacrifice. Am I telling you something new? They'd take them there, and they would go there, and they would go through their little pagan rites, basically, and then they would slit the camel's throats, and they would spread, and they would cook them up and everything, and whatever that would be. And then we'd walk around the Kaaba 7 times and then kiss the stone or lay your hands on that black stone that would take away their sin. That would take away all their sins, that stone does. And then you'd have to go up on one mountain, and then you'd have to go up on another mountain, and you'd have to do all these rigmarole that they did in the pagan world. It didn't change any. That's what they did before Islam. They did the same thing. All right? He just incorporated under one God instead of all these demon gods, into one demon god instead of all the demon gods. Okay. Then he says here, from all the beasts of the prairie, non-domesticated animals, upon your belly, all gi chanika, upon your belly. This is what we call a humiliation. Humiliation. He's gonna crawl like he's worshiping and prostrating himself. All the time, that's the way he's going to walk now. As he walked before upright and as a proud Nahash, whatever he was, however he walked, now he's going to crawl on his belly. In the form of prostration. Going to prostrate himself on the ground. Tilik. And you shall walk, you shall keep on walking. Second person masculine, singular, cal, imperfect. This is a full imperfect here. You shall keep on walking. through fine dust and through fine dust. We afar, through fine dust, and you shall keep on eating down in the dirt. Who likes to eat on the ground? Anybody like to eat on the ground?
Not really.
Put your face there on the ground and eat. That's the way it's going to be. All of this is a form of what? Humiliation. Now, Muhammad said also in the resurrection, you know, Muhammad said that he's going to be the first one resurrected in the resurrection. He's the only one that's going to have clothes on. He's going to have a green turban and a green gown, and he's going to be resurrected. And God's going to know all these Muslims because they're all burning on fire except for one part of their body. Which part of their body is not on fire? Anybody know?
Their right hand?
No. Brother Roger? Their forehead, where they put it on the ground as they pray five times a day. They're supposed to put their forehead on the ground five times a day. And that little coin-shaped area there is going to mark them for Islam that they prayed. Like Muhammad did. Okay? That's going to mark them because they prostrated themselves before Allah. Okay? That's what's going to mark them. This animal is going to be marked forever. Even in the millennia, he's going to be on the ground in a worshipful sense. Now, without that animal having any volition, would that be just? No. Let me tell you something else here also as we go here. And you shall keep on eating all the days of your lives. Future. His life and every life of every snake that would ever be born. Duel prophecy. His life and every snake. Okay? That would ever be born. You shall keep on eating in this fine dust. You shall keep on walking on your belly. Keep on being in a subservient, humiliated form all the days. A state of subjection. From now on, all the way through the millennial reign. 3:15. Here is the first promise of the Messiah in the Bible. The first promise of the Messiah.
How many minutes ago over here?
This here you ought to have marked with asterisks all around it, everything else. Very beautiful. We Iva, Ashith, Bienika, Yuvain, Ha Isha. Yuvain, Ziraka, Yuvain, Zara, Hu, Ye Shufika, Rosh, Weata. Ti Shufinu, Akiv. And active hatred and hostility, I shall keep on placing between of you and between Ha Isha, the woman. I'm going to have active hatred between you and her. From now on, when the woman would see the snake, what would she think? That's what's caused me all this trouble. And so she's going to hate the snake from now on. He was beautiful before, but now God is going to cause the woman to hate the snake. She's going to hate the serpent. And between your seed, seed of you. Okay? Now what does this tell us right here? Mike, what's this tell us? This is prophetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's the seed of Satan? Satan. Who's the seed of Satan? Your seed there. The Antichrist. So is Satan going to have a literal child? I remember when I was taught in seminary and everything else, I was going along. I was taught an idea in theology that in Genesis the 6th chapter that the sons of God were actually people that were of believers. And the daughters of men were those people that were unbelievers. But that's not what the Hebrew says. No Hebrew scholar, no Hebrew commentary, I don't care how many far you go back, if you go back even to the book of Enoch or Peter or any of these guys, they're going to tell you one thing about these Genesis 6 chapter, Bene Ha'elihim is what? They're sons of God, which are angels. Okay, these are angels. And this is what happened. Now, God was going to place his seed in a woman in space and time that we will know her as Mary. Okay? But before that, see how Satan tries to copycat before God even does it? Right here is when God proclaimed this. Now, angels have form, don't they? We know that. A lot of the religious world say angels don't have form, they don't have form, all this kind of stuff. And they say in the New Testament where Jesus said, when he was talking about the Sadducees, you know, they're Sadducees because they don't believe in eternal life or angels or spirits or anything, they're Sadducees, you know. But they are basically atheists, is what they were. But they were religious atheists. By the way, all atheists are religious because to be an atheist, you have to have a faith in something that is irrational. Every time you walk in the yard, you ought to see God. God created things. Okay? Well, angels began to procreate with women. That's basically, if you read all of the ancient commentaries, that's what caused the flood. Angelic beings contaminated the human race, and we wouldn't have had the seed of the woman pure if God hadn't judged at that time. That judgment over there was the flood. So God killed all of the Nephilim. If you read the book of Enoch, I wish that people would do a study on the book of Enoch like they have the Bible and try to trace it, but people aren't religious. They aren't even interested since the Protestant Reformation. They haven't been even interested in the book of Enoch. Of course, the book of Enoch was lost for a long time. The book of Enoch was the most copied book at the Dead Sea Scrolls. Did you know that? The most copied book there. It's a book of eschatology. It is a book that has so much information in it that is far beyond human reach. And we know that we have the book of Enoch that goes back to at least 1000 BC there at the Dead Sea Scrolls. At least that time. The first book that was ever found at the Dead Sea 1000 years before 1948, by the way, when it was, well, was it? Was it 48 when they found, or 50? 48 when they found the scrolls. 1,000 years before that, they found them, and they took it off. They called it the Damascus scroll. It was the book of Enoch. And they took it to Damascus, and then it went to Egypt. And whoever found those scrolls there at the Dead Sea died, because he was going to market these, and he croaked. So we'd still have them today. God allowed him to get killed by pirates or something. You know who the desert pirates were? Who was Al-Abaab and the 40 thieves? Who was that? Huh? All Muslims. Yeah, the Muslims. Yeah. That's who they were. They're pirates. They killed people all the time. Constantly robbing and killing. He probably got killed. So we had the Dead Sea Scrolls to be found later on. Your seed. Your seed there, so Satan is going to cohabit with a woman, and he's going to bring forth a seed from a woman. All right, literal seed. We know that happened in Genesis 6 chapter now. I had to change my thinking. 25 years ago, I didn't believe that. But as I studied deeper in Hebrew and the Hebrew scriptures and all the commentaries, I see this is common. What we came up with later on was just out there in the twilight zone. Because they didn't have the leap of faith to believe that. When Aaron threw down his rod in the palace of Pharaoh, it became a dragon, not a snake or a serpent. It was a dragon. Why didn't they translate it that? Because they didn't have enough faith to say it became a dragon instead of a serpent. Because a staff, kind of shape of serpent anyway, but when it has a total changed form, and it's a supernatural being.
Well, the sorcerers had serpents, and yeah. They would throw them down.
Well, they were throwing theirs down, and they became dragons too. All of them were dragons. Pharaoh's palace was full of dragons, not snakes. They were not a one of them a snake. They're all Tannin. Tannin means what?
Dragon.
They were not Nahash. All the translations say serpents, but it's not serpent. It's dragons. They became dragons. fire-breathing dragons, powerful dragons, supernatural dragons, like Leviathans. Okay. And between her seed, what is her seed going to be here? Looking forward to Jesus. The seed of the woman, not the seed of man. The seed of the woman would have without sin. Without sin. The sin nature comes through man. If you study the chemistry of the blood by M.R. Dahan, you will go and see this. And he will describe to you exactly how this happened. He wrote a whole book on how that God brought through the human race a man without sin. Because he did not have Adam's blood in him. He had only God, the blood of God, which God breathed into Adam. Remember what the root of the word Adam is? Is blood. God made man in his shadow casting spiritual likeness, in his blood flowing likeness, and in his sovereign likeness, triunely. Okay? Let's go on a little further. And between her seed, he shall keep on crushing you. Jesus is going to keep on killing old devil. He's going to have him under control all the time. He's on a chain. He shall keep on crushing you as to the head. That's a death-dealing blow. Keep on, Satan. Just keep on remembering this one of these days. You're going down. You're going to go down for the count once and for all. And you, Weata, and you shall keep on crushing him as to the heel. A crippling blow. Did Jesus, when he rose from the grave, did he have the marks of the cross on him? Some of them, he was so disfigured that some of them didn't even recognize him. You know, I think that the Lord is going to carry those marks even into eternity so we can remember what he did for us. All right? So we can remember. A crippling blow. Let's go to 3:16 real quickly, and that's the last one. I think that's all the time we got. Trying to keep my back in place up here. It keeps wanting to slip on me. I think you can see that just a little bit. All right. Ella. Ha-isha. Amar. Harba. Arba. It's vo-nika. Vo-nik. All right. We... Heronic. Bitsev. Telidi. Banim. Wiel. Ishek. Tishukatek. Wihu. Yimshal. Bak. Unto the woman, he said, to be multiplying, to cause to become, multiplying greatly. I shall multiply. All right, multiply greatly as his hifel, infinitive, absolute. That means to be multiplying greatly. And I shall be multiplying, I shall keep on multiplying and causing to multiply. First person construct singular, hifel, imperfect. Your sorrow, your troubles. And your conception, we hironek. We hironek. I will keep on multiplying your pain in conceiving and having children. When a woman is first becomes a wife of a man, it is painful, is it not? Yeah. In her first time that she cohabits with her husband, it is painful. And when she conceives, it's going to be painful. Because then, here comes the child. And that's going to be really painful. Okay? And that's what it's talking about here. In conceiving and in bringing forth children, it's going to be painful. And in pain, you shall bring forth. Second person, feminine, singular, cal and forfic. You shall keep on bringing forth children unto your husband. You shall be your desire, shall be your longing. You shall long for your husband. And he shall, Yimshal, he shall keep on ruling in you. He shall keep on ruling in you. Now, man was supposed to be the head of the human race. He was supposed to be the head of the human family and the human flock. He shall keep on being the head of the human flock. And she'll keep on watching over the woman, except right now, he's going to try to keep her out of trouble from now on. Because he was at fault. It wasn't a woman's fault. It was a man's fault. Now he's supposed to care for her and guard her and keep her from being approached again. So many times in human race, so many times God or Satan has used women to bring about the fall of great men and the fall of nations and the fall of everything, haven't they? Many times. The Jewish people, they were kicking around all over Europe and everything else. And how did they slip into the palaces? How did the Jewish people slip into palaces? And in rulership, what?
They raised girls to be prostitutes.
Raised girls to be highly polished courtesans or prostitutes, so they'd slip in and get in there so they could have a certain freedom. And so they did this. All right? Women have been deceitful in many, many ways through time. We see this. And, of course, men are not one bit better, are they? Men are rascals. The epitome of man. Look at the rascals that have ruled the world. But just think about some of the women rulers. How about the one that ruled the unholy Roman Empire for a little while? Her name was Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary. Mary, Queen of Scots. She killed every Protestant and every Baptist in England, Ireland, and Scotland. Killed them all. To bring them back to Catholicism. Okay? We see that. They're vicious. Women warriors, boy, I mean to tell you what, they're the most vicious of all warriors. And if a man ever thinks that he's stronger than a woman, he's crazy. Women live longer than men. They're more powerful than men in many, many ways. They can outthink you 10-1. Muhammad said it took two women to make one man's brain. Boy, was he lame. It took two women on a jury to make the decision to one because they were so stupid and so corrupt. You couldn't trust them and they're dumb. But we know better than that. Women are smart. Some of the smartest theologians that I've ever seen are women.
Why did they become very Muslim?
Lack of sense sometimes. So we went through 3:12 through 16, didn't we? We covered a lot of ground in those verses. The worst preachers in history, the greatest leading out in heresy, have been women, haven't they? We see some of the... What is one of the largest, fastest growing churches right now that was founded by a woman? What is it? Huh? Calvary Chapel. Calvary Chapel, Amy McPherson, the Four Square. What about the Seventh-day Adventist? How about... Okay, and what about... Well, yeah, it's an offshoot of all of those weirdo... The Jehovah's Witness is an offshoot of that.
Okay. But Calvary Chapel has what error in it?
How about Calvary Chapel?
Yeah. What kind of error is in
Arminianism. It started out with Amy McPherson. If you want to read, if you want to know what Amy McPherson believed, Ben Bogart and Amy McPherson had a debate. Look that debate up online. The debate between Amy Semple McPherson, and Ben Bogart. Okay, and then we have Christian Science. Look at these. Are they powerful? How powerful is Christian Science today?
Way powerful.
Oh, yeah. A lot in the news media, we have the Christian Science.
Murder, slander.
Yeah, all of this kind of stuff. You see all of this. Now, women aren't all bad because we all have some, don't we? What would we do without these beautiful women at our side sometimes? A woman can either make or break a man, can't she?
Yep.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
A woman can make or break a man. That's it. A woman can make or break a man. Well, I hope you enjoyed God's Word tonight, this little feast on it. I hope you learned something tonight. Did you learn something? Just mark it down, whatever you learned tonight, and carry it with you. All right, let's have a word of prayer and go out and do something eternal. And we'll get this little girl to come up here and lead us in prayer. See, we're not prejudiced against women at all.
Father, we just thank you for the lessons and the deep truths that are being revealed to us, your purposes for us, your love for us, your redeeming love. And Lord, I just ask that we just be mindful of you always as we go through our week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that woman you gave me.